Holy fuck balls.
It's the Buzz 24/7 at MorningBuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Your bass will suck.
So this is why I was laughing. Our studio guest today for the Buzz 24/7 is our great friend, Mr. Gary Hoey, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio with us. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Good to be here.
Nice to have you. So here's the thing. Just before we went on, I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, you can swear on this. You go, shit balls. I'm all excited. You know, this is a new level of the buzz.
It's awesome.
So the 24/7 is the post-show podcast, like after in the green room kind of thing after the show. And a lot of times it just deals with stuff that we did on the show or more in-depth about our personal lives. And I think we tend to get a little, I don't know. I don't want to say
all
more.
The juicy stuff.
Yeah, well, we don't get more real because we pretty much lay everything out there, on the air anyway.
Right,
but sometimes it does get kind of serious and deep.
See,
and,
yeah, like Grammy J listens to the show from 5:30 to 10.
Yeah,
she doesn't listen to this because she doesn't have like a smartphone or a computer or anything. So you could probably go a little more risque because Grammy J's not listening.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Grammy J can handle it. Trust me. She
said hi. She came over yesterday. Hello to everybody.
Very nice. So Gary is here with us today because Gary, who has always been great about Linda helping Can, I know, believe it or not, he's got the unmitigated gall and balls to be out on tour coming up. Dude, you've been everywhere.
Yeah, it's been crazy, man. It's been a good year, man. We're coming into a good year, end of year.
It's got to be. It's you. Am I wrong in because I follow you? Obviously, we stay in touch. But is this your busiest year? Because it looks from the outside looking in that it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just been ramping up, you know. And this year has turned out to be one of my busiest years I've had, and it's not ending in any slow way at all.
Right.
It's coming crazy.
Yeah. So Gary is always our first guest. And he always kicks off Linda Helping Can with us, which is next Thursday and Friday. So, and Gary won't be able to be with us on that day. So he's here today, and we're going to do some segments with you for that because we can't do Linda Helping Can without you being a part of it, as you know.
Yeah, I love it, man. I've been doing it for so long with you guys, and just, you know, I wanted to come in and at least feel like I'm here on Thursday and Friday and just maybe play some Christmas songs and get people in the mood and to just feel like I can be a part in some way. So I'm so glad I could be here today.
And next Thursday and Friday, Gary is going to offer a guitar lesson, you know, and let me see, a guitar lesson. Do we have a guitar?
Yes, Scotty? We do.
Right, so we are. Woo. He's Gary Hoey will sign a guitar and offer a guitar lesson. Now, is it Zoom? It's like a Zoom lesson, right? Like
we do it on Zoom, and it's really fun. You know, we just hang out, and, you know, it's just whatever people want to do. If they want to learn some guitar, if they just want me to help them with a song, if they just want to hang out and chat and talk about music, you know, it could be whatever they want. They don't even have to be a musician. It's just a hang time, and hopefully they want to learn some guitar.
Yeah, trade recipes, all kinds of interesting shit.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I've got a great pumpkin crumble.
Yeah, I think
nice.
I think I read today or yesterday, Lita Ford, album very close to coming out.
Yes.
How much involved in that were you?
Oh, man, it was great. I produced and co-wrote it with her, and this is our second album together because we did Living Like a Runaway, her last album we did together. And this new one we've been working on for a while now, and it's done. It's done. We're just waiting to get it out.
What is it about you and her that clicks?
Well, you know, Lita and I, we clicked pretty much right away. You know, we had this incredible music connection where we grew up on a lot of the same music,
right?
Black Sabbath, Alice Cooper, the Ramones. You know, she loves punk rock and she loves heavy metal.
Well, she came from the Runaways, which was, you know, basically almost a punk rock band.
Absolutely. They were pretty much a punk rock all-girl band and one of the first ever. And so, you know, Lita's such an icon, such a legend in the doors that she's broken down and inspired so many young female musicians. But we connect on a great level musically and, you know, I do tend to work with a lot of female artists over the years, and I don't know if it's because I have four sisters that tortured me for many, many years. Right. Atomic Wedgies, you know. You know what an atomic wedgie is? Is where the band comes off. It tears off the underwear.
Yes.
But they tortured me for years, so I don't know if it's that I understand women. I don't know if it's that I fear women. But somehow, I just get ladies in the studio, and I can help them and bring the best out of them because I understand women, what they're going through.
I have four sisters, right? You? And I do think that you grow up with a sensibility that maybe someone without sisters doesn't have. I do think that benefits you later on. Are you laughing? Or,
No, not at all.
I wasn't sure.
I was trying to...
Okay.
Put my chair up so I can see everybody.
Okay.
I know, he perked up like, I don't have four sisters.
There's a little lever, honey. You can
but I just mean, it's the history that she has. I mean, the Runaways, a all-girl band when in a time where, you know, our girls can't rock. Yes, they can.
Yes.
And stuff like that. But just that must be just so cool because I know I'd be in there going, wow, you know, I grew up with you.
Yes. Of all the things that we've talked to you through the years, I mean, Gary's met everybody and played with everybody. It's sick, the list of people that he's played with, some of which I don't even know. But how do you get around, like, you're used to it, right? You're a musician, they're a musician. You can play right alongside anybody. There's not a guitarist Gary Hoey can't stand on stage with and be right there with him. No question, because that's how good you are. You know that.
Thank you, man.
But you still must get, like, holy shit, I'm on stage with Lou Gramm of Foreigner. You just worked with Lou Gramm all summer long, right?
Yes, yeah. I've been playing guitar in his band, and I'm going to continue in 2025. He asked me to stay on to do dates, so we're going to, you know, I'm going to do as much as I can. He's not touring a whole lot, but yeah.
Right. But Lou Gramm, who else? Like, how do you get around being the fan to get to being the equal, even though you are?
Yeah, man. I mean, Lou Gramm, for one, it blows my mind. I got to tell you, I look at him on stage some nights and I just, because 30 years ago, the story is 30 years ago when my first album came out and I had a hit with Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
One of my first big tours was going on the road with Foreigner and the Doobie Brothers.
Right.
And it was my first album and I'm out on the road opening for Foreigner and Doobie Brothers. This is 30 years ago. And now 30 years later, I'm playing in Lou's band.
Now, did you like try out or did he call you and say, Gary, I want you?
What happened was my good friend Tony Franklin is playing bass in the band.
The fretless monster, is that what they call him?
The fretless monster.
Damn right. Damn right.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. He's one of the greatest. And he played with Jimmy Page and The Firm.
Yeah.
He was in a band called Blue Murder with John Sykes.
I was going to say, now listen, I don't want to talk you out of work, but if he could put Blue Murder back, come back over here and play a few shows, I'd love that.
That would be insane.
Can you pass that on to him, say, listen, one guy in New Hampshire wants you to put Blue Murder back
together? I'll talk to him today about it.
Yeah.
But he recommended me. You know, they were looking for a guitarist, they said to Tony, do you know anyone? And he said, you know, Gary Hoey, if he's available, he's the guy. And so I got the gig without even an audition, without even talking to Lou. And I literally showed up in Alabama for the first show with no rehearsals, no preparation, just walked on stage and we did it.
Kelly has.
Okay, now you said you did it. After the show, everybody goes in the green room and everything. Was there anything he said, that was close, but that's not it? Or was it done? Great.
It was good right from the first show.
Great.
I mean, we got on stage. We did a little sound check. And Lou, just the only thing he said to me was he walked over. He wanted me to turn up my amp.
Oh, you don't get that very much, do you?
He's like, can you put a little more hair on that thing? I'm like, okay, man.
A little more hair on that. I like that. So Kelly is home today, broadcasting from home. So he has a question. Go ahead, Kelly.
Gary, I'm on your wiki page right now. Back to fiction. You were born in Lowell, Massachusetts, United States?
Yes.
Okay. At 14, Hoey often lingered outside Boston's renowned Berklee College of Music, making friends and offering to pay for lessons. Really?
Yeah, it was true. I wanted to go to Berklee College of Music, but my mom said, we have no money.
Right.
Go down and hang out, and you might learn something. So I did. I went down to Berklee and ran into a couple guys that were graduating, and I took some private lessons from them.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So Lou Gramm, because I know he had some health issues, and about a month and a half ago, I saw a video of him, and he was singing I Want to Know What Love Is, and I'm like, he was crushing it.
Yes.
He was crushing it. And I don't remember what it was he had. I don't know if it was a brain related.
He had a brain tumor.
Okay. I knew it was something like that. I didn't want to misspeak.
Yeah.
But and I'm watching him going, holy crap, it sounds really good.
Yeah, he
That's
does
amazing.
Sound. He sounds really good. 74 years old. He's still singing really good. And he took him time to come back from, you know, his operation. He told me he couldn't remember any of the words to the songs.
Right.
So we used to have sheets on with the first line to each song on the floor because he couldn't remember the words.
Zach Wilde had the same thing, but his was due to drinking.
But you know, when you're 22, when Foreigner's debut album, by the way, I seriously, no bullshit, it's one of my favorite debut albums, maybe one of the best debut albums of all time. It's right up there. Like, I'd put it in my top 10, top 15.
Yeah, amazing.
When you're singing those notes at 20 and 25, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Hitting those notes at 74 is galactically different.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he can do it.
It's crazy. I mean, his sound, his tone, his still got it. And he, you know, he was always one of my favorite rock singers. I think he is one of the best to ever sing in the music. And and he's from Rochester, New York. He's a super humble guy. He's so nice and down to earth. He's great to hang out with. He loves to, with the hotels, we're always on the road. He's like, he's up, you know, having breakfast at 8 a.m. We're all down there, you know, eating breakfast together. And he's he's just not a rock star like you would think. He's just a normal guy.
You're a very down to earth guy. And we were talking before we sat down to do this, and you said something about your management and the people that you work with and things like that. And I grew up in a time in radio when you dealt with bands and managers, you didn't know what you were going to get. And there were people that behaved like absolute jerks. Like, I mean, just mean people that just like to be mean for the sake of being mean and for the sake of making themselves feel powerful. That happens way less now, doesn't it? It seems like it, or am I wrong?
Well, I think things have changed. You know, the stereotypes that used to be where the agents and the managers were just kicking
assholes.
Everybody's asses.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a lot of people have mellowed out because, you know, they're getting cleaned out. You know, people just, the industry's changed and people appreciate what they have more. And I was talking to you about my agents, Intrepid International. They're super nice guys.
Sure.
They're from the Carolinas, so they have that southern accent. You know, they're just down home boys.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. I was the worst I've ever been treated or talked to. I mean, was brutal. I was talking to the manager of a guy who was a really good friend of ours, Larry the Cable Guy, who had a manager for a period of time who was. The stuff he said to me was like, I don't care if your mother dies, blah, blah, like things. It was like insane. It was, I don't give a shit. I don't know who you are. I'm just a friend of Larry's. I'm not anybody. I'm not trying to be. And he was.
What was he ticked off about?
He was mad because he wanted us to add a third show. And I said, I think two is good. Two sellouts is way better than two and a fourth of a house, you know, I was standing in his way to make money. And so Larry had signed on with this guy who said, I'll triple your income. And indeed, the guy did.
Yep.
He's a monster of a manager.
But at the same time, you don't need to be kicking babies.
So I called Larry, and Larry had warned me, like, this guy's tough. And he goes, but this guy's going to triple my income. And so I got it. I didn't get too wound up emotionally about it. But I was like, if that's how he treats me, he's treating everybody like that. And Larry, I don't think, works with him anymore and hasn't for a long time. But it used to be people weren't afraid to say the meanest, cruelest things ever. It's crazy.
But they live in a time now where what happens is Greg gets treated like shit. Greg goes online, talks about it, and more people hear about it. Back in the 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s, you could be treated like horrible, and maybe it made the music trade. But there was no photos. There was no evidence.
I didn't talk about it because Larry was a friend. And Larry's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I get it. Now at least I know. So, and that was fine. But anyway, we're past that now. So,
good, man.
Everybody good with the family? How's things with the family?
Everyone's great. Yeah. My son Ian is, he's 23 now. He's coming out on this tour with me. He's doing a lot of the dates. He's going to be on most of the tour. And he's just crushing it, man. He keeps getting better.
He's been crushing it since he was like 16.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's
doing great. And my daughter's about to have her first baby in February. So
nice.
I'm going to be a grandpa.
Wow. Nice. That's
grandpa
great.
Grandpa Hoey's coming out.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So who are you band-wise? Who are we taking out with us this time?
I've got the same youngins I had last time. I got Leah Bluestein on drums.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, in her 20s.
A monster.
Incredible drummer. Yep. Berkeley grad. And her fiance Mike on bass. Mike Ducko is playing with us.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the Ho Ho Hoey tour it's extensive, right? You're all over the place.
Yeah, we're doing our typical like East Coast, Midwest, California, and we added some dates in Florida this year, which is one of the reasons I can't be here on the day of the Lend a Helping Can. But we're going to be hitting Florida, doing some shows down there. I just thought, I was talking to my agents, and I was like, you know, what if we brought the tour this year to some places that we haven't been before?
Right,
and Florida never gets Christmas; it's always warm.
Right.
So he says, why don't we get out of Florida and we might do some Texas next year? We might add Texas in there.
Yeah. Any? I know that obviously there's always always music going through your head and stuff, but you've been so busy. I mean, I know there was talk of another Ho-Ho-Ho-y album.
Yes.
Where are we at with any new music?
Well, I've been recording new songs, and I have a new single I'm going to put out this year called It's Angels We Have Heard on High, which is also Gloria, but I did a rocked out version of Angels We've Heard on High, and
maybe we'll play that during Linda Helping Can.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I'd love to debut it. I've debuted so many songs on your show that have never been played anywhere, and I'm amazed.
But still to this day, Gary, when you walked in with your phone and you go, after everything was done, and you guys, I got an album coming out, then I'm singing. The whole room went quiet. We're like, singing.
Yeah.
And you played it for us.
We were all like,
friggin'
whoa.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Thanks, what took man. You so long? Knowing this that is awesome.
Knowing that somebody told him not to. Yep. And that just pisses me off.
Yeah, that's you know? Right. You're right. Those badass managers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have a new single and I'm going to have a new album. Next year is going to be the 30th anniversary of Ho Ho Hoey. So we decided to hold off till next year because we want to release it on the 30th anniversary. Right. Mm-hmm. And I have a new album called Avalanche, which is coming out in February or March. And that's done. It's actually done.
Great.
A new record. And it's a rock album.
How hard is that to sit there and record something and know it's done and it's just sitting there waiting and yet you want people to hear it, but you have so much going on. You got to put it off until you can give it the attention it needs, right?
You do. And nowadays, I mean, you have to lead an album like 3 months out. You have to have at least 3 months to set everything up. You really do. Mm-hmm. Now, it's crazy.
You just said it's a rock album. Do you ever go and you're sitting in there and you're like, all right, I'm going to write a blues album. You sit there and all of a sudden you start playing and you're like, wow, that was really rock. Okay, I want to keep that idea. And then, well, I got another idea. It's rock. Like, how do you switch from the blues guy to the rock guy?
Well, for me, you know, it was a conscious decision to start doing some blues, you know, when I got signed to a label in Europe. And so what I tend to do is I tend to write all the time and I just put things in folders. I'm like, okay, this will go here. It's a rock ballad, or this is a heavy song, or this is a blues. And so I kind of just catalog stuff until I'm ready to go. But this new album, I had, you know, I'd done 3 blues records and I wanted to get back to the rock roots. I wanted to go back to some of the earlier stuff I was doing. And, you know, my mom passing away, my sister passing away, all these songs just came out that were more emotional, more just kicking ass in
that way. I just didn't know,
way.
Like, okay, hey, Gary, we're expecting a blues album from you. And you're like, well, I got 2 blues songs and I got 64 rock tunes, where you're like, I'm not feeling the blues right now. I'm feeling the rock, or just the opposite.
The line between genres, all genres, is more blurred now than ever. And I think that's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It really is. I mean, in this new record, it's got a lot of diversity in it. People, I think, are going to really like this record, but it does rock, man. It's got the rock.
I know that we have a limited amount of time here this morning for this, but Gary, you'll be hearing Gary. We're going to be doing some segments with Gary that you'll hear during Linda Helping Can coming up next Thursday and Friday. But first, I want to give people a little bit of the snapshot. I always love doing this with you because I know I can throw names out. I'm going to throw names out and you tell me if you've had experience with them. And if you just give me a brief synopsis of, you know, what they were like or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Now, and I may miss a couple of times, but I know we've talked about Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen, right?
Yes.
I mean, Alex has come out with that book, and I haven't read it yet. Scotty hasn't read it yet, but you met Eddie Van Halen, played with him, right?
Yeah, I met Eddie a few times, and I didn't actually play with him on stage or anything. We were supposed to a couple of times, but it never happened. But yeah, I've had some times with Eddie and just, you know, got invited to a rehearsal one time before one of their tours. So I went and hung out and watched a live rehearsal with the band. But he was always super nice, super cool, one of the coolest guys and, you know, one of my heroes.
So you answered, what about Alex? Because we keep talking about Alex. I would love to get him on the show.
Yeah.
But I know he was also the quiet, the reserved brother who, if he wasn't playing in a band with his brother, he would have been the whole show because he's a phenomenal drummer.
Yeah.
But his brother, you know, was a tad bit, no disrespect, you know, more in the spotlight than him. What was he like? Did you get to hang out with him at all? Or, again, a lot of people say he was very to himself.
Yeah, he's very quiet. Yeah. Like, anytime I've been in the room with him, he's just laying back quiet. But he's, you know, he's a funny guy.
Yep.
I mean, he has a great personality. And you can see by his book coming out how close he was with Eddie. You know, I mean, it's just, he's just been crushed, you know, losing his brother.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're a phenomenal team, you know, as far as what they did together musically. But I think he's been talking a lot about, you know, why he's not out there with Sammy Hagar and why he's not jumping into that, because he just doesn't think it's Van Halen.
Yeah, Sammy's not featured in the book at all. The book ends with David Lee leaving the band. You know.
But is that, okay, you said that, and I was talking to somebody the other day about that. Is that lining up book two, the second phase?
I don't know. I can't speak to that. All I know is I got the feeling from what I read that there isn't going to be a book two.
Okay.
That's what I thought. I don't know.
I think he wanted to touch on what he thought was the core of Van Halen, which was up until, you know, Sammy.
Yeah.
Because I think Sammy did awesome, you know, great stuff with the band. But I thought the early stuff was, the best Van Halen.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yikes.
Ozzy Osbourne.
I mean, Ozzy was, was really even though I didn't get the gig, I auditioned for Ozzy in the late 80s and went out to California to play with him. And that was the thing that actually gave me the confidence to get my career going, honestly. Because when Ozzy brought me to L.A. and, you know, we played together and, you know, he said, "I'm going to move to L.A. You know, he told me to come out to L.A. I listened to him and I did. I moved to L.A. and then I got a manager and signed with Warner Brothers Records. But Ozzy, I feel like I owe him everything.
Yeah,
because he was the first legend that turned and gave me the time of day, because I was nobody. I didn't have anything.
When you went in, obviously, I don't know if Ozzy was there or not. When you went in to audition or jam, who was in that room with you?
Well, I was in toward the end of the auditions, and I did really well. They had me back the second day. Yep. So I played with Ozzy in the room. You know, Phil Soussan, Randy Castillo passed away, but the whole band was there. Wow. And I will never ever forget for my life Ozzy coming up to me, singing in my face, screaming, I don't know, shaking his head.
So you were auditioning after Jake E. Lee left.
Yeah, Jake left, and we were there. There was, I think Zach Wilde actually came in the weekend I was there, too. Okay. And he walked in, I saw the long blonde hair. I'm like, he looks like Randy Rhoads. That guy's going to get the gig. Yeah.
I almost couldn't speak sitting next to him on a couch, because then I saw the OZZY tattoo on his knuckles, just like that. Yep. I can't even fathom him singing to me while I'm playing. It must have blown your mind.
It was. I mean, because, you know, I was the biggest Black Sabbath fan.
I mean, you
really don't know. I mean, I hitchhiked to the Worcester Centrum, wherever it was. I hitchhiked, me and my friends, in December in like denim jackets to go see Ozzy. It was a GA show. We wanted to get some weed before the show, so we met these dudes. We all put our money together, and the guy goes, "Okay, you Henry, you come with us." And they wouldn't let us go. They took my friend. They beat him up. He came back with no money and no weed.
No weed?
Oh, yeah, no weed, sucks. No money.
Yeah.
And then we go into the concert, and there's joints laid up. Like, every 10 seconds, people are handing us joints. So we didn't need to buy any pot.
Right.
And then that night, we had just exactly enough money to get a Greyhound bus home, because nobody would pick us up on the highway at 2 in the morning, five guys with denim jackets.
Right.
So we had to go to the Greyhound bus station and get a bus home.
So Scotty's dad was probably driving him to the Centrum and drove right past you guys.
Right by.
I'm not picking up those hippies.
You see that? Those hippies, they didn't pay attention in school.
All popped up on the pot.
You know what? Dopes do dope, kids.
I saw your dad go right by. I did.
Oh, did you ever meet Jimmy Page?
Never met Jimmy Page, but I did meet Robert Plant.
Yeah.
Never connected with Jimmy Page before. But
and how was Robert?
Robert was awesome. We got to hang out backstage a little bit and see his show, and he was super, super nice guy.
When you're talking to him, you're looking at him going, that's the voice that gave us rock and roll and, you know, A Stairway to Heaven. It's for me, it's hard for me to get past the fandom of being like, what that music meant to me.
Yeah.
Like, when we met Brad Delp the first time, I'm like, holy shit, this guy sang Long Time. Wow. And then you get past it because they're just people like everybody else. But
Robert from Zeppelin, I couldn't get past him. Yeah. I was speechless. I just stood there like I was just unbelievable. And he's like, "Would you like some water?" You know? And he gave me I'll never forget. He's like, "Have some water."
What about, is there anybody that and I know we'll wrap it up, but anybody that you watched and you just were speechless? Like, you watched them play, whether you were in the front row or in a studio where you watched them play and just could not find the words to describe how awesome they were as a player.
I mean, you know, Jeff Beck, you know, one of the greatest ever, who passed away. Jeff was one of my biggest heroes. And in 2010, I toured with him And I used to get to sit and watch him at soundcheck every day. He did that to me. He just did things on the guitar that I couldn't fathom. And Eric Johnson was probably the other one.
Right.
Eric Johnson just is amazing.
Dover? Yeah, Cliffs
of Dover. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he just plays stuff that's just like otherworldly. Maybe Steve Vai, too, is in that category for me. Just people that, like, I'm looking at just going, wow, this is crazy how good these guys are.
Yeah, you've had as a fan of rock music and the things I've experienced through you because of the things you've talked about, just blows me away because you always loved it. You, like you said, you love Black Sabbath, and then you became part of that world and kind of now you're touring with Lou Gramm. You got the Lita Ford thing going. I just watching the trajectory that you've had, especially since you came home, you know, to this side of the States, just watching it grow and grow and grow because you were committed. This is one of the things I love about you, and I love many things about you. You're committed to what you loved, right? You didn't give in to what other people said. You did what you want, and it just keeps getting better for you, and I know you're enjoying it, and that makes me happiest of all, just the fact that you've been able to live your dream and still be a good guy and surround yourself with your family.
He's a good guy.
Is the best. I'm really happy for you. I mean, I know.
Thank you so much. I'm just a dude from Lowell, Massachusetts. I mean, I'm just a small town kid, grew up in a mill town, and I did. I mean, I just worked really hard, and I think I never stopped appreciating the things that came my way, and I treat people with respect, and I try to lift up this business, you know, more than some people.
Yeah. Well, you've always, with Lend a Helping Hand and giving us the many things you've done throughout the years we've done it. I don't even know when it started. I don't know when our relationship started. I don't know what year it started in. I have no idea.
It's over 30 years. Right. It's definitely over three decades. And you guys have done so much for me too, man. You know. I mean, every time I play, you know, people come to the shows and they talk about me on your show and just, you know, what the exposure that you guys have given me has been unreal.
Well, so actually, Gary's going to hang out and record some segments that you'll only hear during Lend a Helping Hand on that first morning, okay?
Can't wait.
Booming in via satellite, ladies and gentlemen. So,
boom, he's here.
Enjoy the tour. Ho, ho, hoey. Go to GaryHoey.com, all right? Watch for him touring with Lou Gramm. Watch for the new Lita Ford album. Watch for the new Gary Hoey album. A lot of stuff going on in Hoeyville.
Yes, it's coming up.
All right, well, we love you, brother.
Love you too, brother.
Great to see you, everybody. And we'll be back tomorrow, 5:30. And listen for Gary Hoey joining us live via satellite. Coming up next week during Lend a Helping Hand. Woo!